Morning. We press into the second Sunday of Advent. And in this second week, we begin to hear the prophecy of the sprout, which will come forth from the root of Jesse. We heard in that first reading, on that day, a shoot shall sprout from the stump of Jesse, and from his roots a bud shall blossom. This prophecy coming to us is very, or appears very heavily during the Advent season. How many of you have heard of the Jesse tree, or ever had one of a Jesse tree in their house during Advent season? Many of you. So the whole Jesse tree, it takes its tradition from this passage. The prophets prophesied that eventually another king will come, a king who is like David, but better than David, a kingdom whose kingdom will never end. And David, if you remember, was the son of Jesse. And so it's from this lineage that this new king will come. And we all know that eventually this is the Jesus Christ, the Messiah, born in Bethlehem, the city of David. Now, I think what's interesting about this image is the stump from which the sprout comes from. When I was in the Holy Land, we were able to visit an olive grove. And they showed us how olive oil was pressed, and they spoke a lot about just olive trees in general. And what's interesting about olive trees is that their root system can last thousands of years. When I was in the Holy Land, they actually pointed out certain trees that were there at the time of Jesus, which is remarkable to think about. But what's interesting about the olive tree is you can completely chop it down, leaving just a stump. And that stump will remain there 5 years, 10 years, 50 years, 100 years. And suddenly, a random sprout will grow. This image isn't just a foreshadowing of the king to come from this lineage of Jesse. It also gives an image of how it comes. It comes from a stump, a seemingly dead tree. At the time of Christ, Israel was a battered, bruised, and dispersed kingdom. The 12 tribes are utterly all divided. Only two actually remain. This longing for a new king, for many people, was a lost hope. It was a dead kingdom. But within the hearts of many faithful Israelites was the longing that eventually this kingdom will be reunited. And from this seemingly dead reality, a new kingdom, an everlasting kingdom, would sprout. This image really is a beautiful image of hope. The Advent season, I think, is the season of hope. It presses into our hearts a very real truth that what my heart seeks has not yet been accomplished. See, hope does two things. The first part of hope is that it realizes that what I seek, the goodness that my heart desires, has not yet been accomplished. Otherwise, there's no need for hope. If I have what I want, if I've already accomplished what I need, there's no need for hope. There will be no virtue of hope in heaven. All things are fulfilled. So hope admits something is lacking. Now, that's a very important part of hope. Because if you and I have gotten to the point in our lives when we think all is well, there's no need, I've accomplished everything, then we're lacking the thirst for what our hearts are made for. See, in many ways, hope is kind of this continual virtue out of which the Christian lives. There's actually a very good thing about always feeling a certain sense of lacking. There's actually something really good about having a thirst to want more. See, if you're sitting in the pew right now and you're like, Father, I don't need anything else. My family is good. My finances are well. I'm healthy. My 401k is looking good. My future's fine. If that is where you're at, that's not good. That's not good. The Christian always should have a want. I'm seeking. My heart isn't satisfied. There's more out there. Hope never settles for mediocrity. It always longs for, ultimately, the heavens. That's the first part of hope. The second part of hope is this. The good that I wish, that I want so bad, I haven't achieved. First part. The second part, one day I will. You need both. The second part of hope is the part that doesn't just droop in sadness and despair. It doesn't say, man, I'm wanting, I'm lacking, and now I'm just going to sit on my couch and eat potato chips all day because I'm just depressed. Hope says, you know what? My heart seeks more. I know it seeks more. And one day, I will achieve it. That's hope. In a beautiful way, hope is the one thing that keeps you young. As you grow old and if everything seems satisfied, everything seems put in its right place, everything achieved, that's when you grow old. Or if you begin to grow and you realize, I keep seeking, I keep looking, and I can never find it, and you have no hope, you just become sad, broken, and in this place of just despair. You grow old. Hope keeps the spirit young. I want to share with you a wonderful quote from Joseph Pieper. Joseph Pieper was from the 20th century. He's a theologian, philosopher, and he wrote a lot of things, but one of the things he's known for is his book on the cardinal virtues. And this is a little excerpt from one of his books. Nothing assures and establishes eternal youth, as does the theological virtue of hope. It alone is able to provide man with the undeniable possession of that inner tension that is both relaxed and taut, that elasticity and agility, the stout-hearted freshness, that resilient joyousness, that composed bravery of confidence, which distinctively characterize a young person and thus makes him lovable. I think it's a wonderful image to kind of put in your mind's eye. Think of an adolescent, an 18, 20-year-old, who has still bright eyes, a vitality, a youthful spirit, who maybe in a certain way thinks that they can accomplish anything. That they'll go out into the world and they have a certain stout-hearted confidence about them, agility, a flexibility. Joseph Pieper says that human natural youthfulness will eventually grow old. We all get old. But you can use that same image to capture the youthful spirit of one who lives out of hope. There always remains a freshness about them, an agility. Their eyes remain bright, their footsteps light, because they always have two very real realities in mind. My heart is made for a greatness that this world cannot give me. That in itself is profound. My heart is made for a greatness that this world cannot give me. But one day, I will achieve it. That's hope. The season of Advent invites you to press into that truth, to kind of take a very real self-inventory and say, do I still thirst? Do I even still long for that greatness? Or has my heart become small? And then the second part, do I truly believe that one day I will possess it? As you come before the Blessed Sacrament to receive the living Lord in the Eucharist, maybe a prayer for all of us is to increase our hope, expand our hearts, fill us with hope.